Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verses 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And this is the text. I have to say, I miss dancing Moko Loko Tani. And most of you don't know what that is. Learned it over in Africa, where especially the ladies of the Lutheran Church in Southern Africa will have a special offering. And sometime during the service, they will begin to sing a song, and the ladies first, and then the whole congregation will come forward dancing as they sing, placing offerings on a table in the center, and then a very elongated ellipse around and around the table as they sing praises to God. And sometimes three and four times as they go by the table, they'll put more offerings on. Moko Loko Tani. And I got a real good explanation as to what that is, and, well, the why it is, actually. The why it is begins a whole long time ago. It begins with the kings, the wise men from the east, coming and seeing the Christ. And what does it say in verse 10? When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That's a triple repetition. A three-peat in the language of our day. Rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, this wasn't just a smile to each other. Yes, we've made it to our destination. This was a celebration that could hardly be contained. And they enter into the house where Jesus was, not in the stable anymore. It was some time later. There were better accommodations. And they see the child with Mary, his mother. Where was Joseph? You know what the answer to that is? Comes in one word. Working. Okay, so they see Mary and Jesus, and they are so overjoyed that it is the most natural thing. Kneel down, worship, offer gifts. Why? Why is it the thing that just came from deep inside of them? Why? But my understanding of this goes back, must be nearly 40 years. It has to do with meeting a lady who had gone through a bout of cancer and suffered terribly and was at this point cured. And her explaining what verse in the Bible was the most meaningful to her for her time suffering with cancer, Psalm 20, verse 3. Sticks in the mind because you don't immediately connect it. Psalm 20, verse 3 says, "May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices." And you're looking a little bit puzzled, which is good. That's how I looked when she said this. Why was that your favorite verse? Then she explained. It's kind of like this. Because he didn't have to. And she said, "When I got cancer, I realized how much of my life had been spent wandering from God and doing all kinds of other things. I realized how I stood in the presence of God and how I as a sinner stand before God. And she said, I ran across this verse and it just hit me that God accepts me. He didn't have to. Let me continue on from her. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I wasn't worth it. He didn't have to, but he did. He looked at my life and he said, he didn't say, well, there's a life full of sin. Toss that one out. Maybe he should have. He didn't have to welcome me as his child, but he did. And then in 2002, I got the chance to travel over to Africa, Southern Africa and Botswana, and among the Botswana people, they do Moko Lokotani. Which, it's exactly the same theme. The offerings of our lives, the things that we bring before God, our gifts, our prayers and our praises, all of them. You know how far they fall short? It's astonishing to realize. Over in South Africa, in Botswana, they were more aware of this because they could say, my family is 3 generations Christian. My family is 2 generations Christian. My family is 5 generations Christian. And they still remembered what it was, what it meant. And they could see around them people worshiping other gods. And those other gods, what do they want? They want you to give and give and give. They're never happy. They're never pleased with you. There's never forgiveness or love or mercy or anything else of that sort. There's just more and more and more demands. And you're never good enough. With God, with the true God, he says, you're a sinner. You are redeemed. You have mercy. You are welcome in my family. You are welcome in my kingdom. You are welcome in my house and before my altar. How close does he call you tonight? Right there to come and to eat and to drink Jesus' own body and blood. He didn't have to, but he did it. And this changes everything. This is transforming of everything in our lives. So I get to last Sunday, preach a sermon sitting on a chair because I'm too sick to stand up. And it's acceptable in the sight of God. How amazing is that? And you go through the whole last week that you've spent and mixed in with all of the good is a lot of wrong in life. Mixed in with the faith and the thoughts of devotion is mixed in a lot of wandering off from God and distractions. Mixed in with the trust in God is the doubting God. And here it is, Saturday evening again, and he calls you. And he says, you are welcome here. So, all those years ago, there came wise men, kings, astronomers, astrologers, out from the pagan nations, not quite sure who God is and what he is like, but here's a star. And he's calling you. And they come and they journey, and they're coming to Bethlehem. And the star now appears over the city. And God welcomes them in. They belong to his family. And all of the other things in their life, that, you know, we call them kings. Isaiah calls them kings. We call them wise men, learned, scholars. And so what? Kings, wise men, whatever. Far from God. The Gentiles. Those people that never were called through being descended from Abraham, that didn't have the Passover, the Red Sea, and anything else like that in their background. Who knows what else went on in their lives, but God's called them. Put his finger on them. Brought them. Brought them to Jesus. And welcomed them. What an astonishing thing. Did they deserve it? Did they earn it? No. Did God have to do it? No. He didn't have to do it, but he did it because he loved them. And so he reaches out to the nations and he calls us and invites us and makes us a part of his family. Part of his family means sins forgiven, living forever, brothers and sisters of Jesus, having Jesus the Christ come down into this world to be one of us, to share our human nature, to carry our burdens, our sorrows, to carry our sins, and to claim us as his, and to say that he is one of us, and then to carry all of that to the cross to make atonement, to open up the kingdom of heaven to us so that there can never be any separation anymore, that the sin is gone, the judgment is gone, and all there is left is that you belong to God and you are right in the sight of God because of Jesus Christ, because of his suffering, his blood, his death, his resurrection, and so he claims you as his own. Did you earn it? Did I deserve it? And the wise men, realizing this as they're coming into the house, what are they to do? Celebrate, rejoice, sing. They're going to kneel down before the Christ. They are going to worship him. They are going to offer their gifts, because in the offering of the gifts, they are being claimed. They're going to give gold and frankincense and myrrh to God, to Jesus Christ. And what does he do? He doesn't just accept the gold and frankincense and myrrh and all of that. They are acceptable and they are accepted. They belong. And how astonishing is that? So, Now you know why I miss dancing Moko Lokotani. Being with those who were very close to knowing what it was like to be without God, and celebrating that now I am accepted in His eyes, and now I belong. How sweet that is. In Jesus' name, amen.